Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Today I want to talk about rest. There are a lot of passages in the Bible where God promises us rest. Here's one of my favorites. It's from the prophet Jeremiah. Here it is. This is what the Lord says. Stand by the roads and look, and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Find Rest for Your Soul. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Today, I want to talk about rest. There are many passages in the Bible about rest that God has in mind for us. And it begins right away. As soon as you make contact with your Creator, as soon as you make contact with Him and want that contact, and don't resist that contact, I have always said that conscience is your closest link to God. And when I say conscience, what do I mean? I mean the awareness that you have of what is wrong, especially when you become aware that you have done something wrong. Now, let me repeat again what I always say. Conscience is the same as intuition, and it's the same as foresight. They're all the same. Conscience is what you feel when you have erred, and your intuition makes you aware that you have erred. And when I say err, what do I mean? I mean like resent somebody, judge somebody, be mean to somebody, see, say something unfair, not do something that you should do. You become aware that you erred. And when you become aware of that, it is so important that you just stay with that and don't resent it and don't resist it. Just be aware of the fact that you messed up. And what are you going to feel about it? Let's say you resented your partner, and then you said something mean. Well, later you become aware that you resented your partner and you said something mean. So what are you going to do? Just see that that was wrong. Bear the little bit of pain. See, what is conscience doing? But it's rubbing your nose in what you did a little bit. That's all. And so if you could just bear that little bit of pain, that little bit of discomfort of seeing your own wrong, if you could just bear that and not try to do anything about it, then it would resolve into what? What would it resolve into? It would resolve into remorse, regret about what you see, about what you did. And if you just stuck with that, then it would resolve into what? Then it would become peace with your conscience, see? Because once you have been sorry, you did something wrong and you're sorry, privately, quietly, before your conscience, then you have peace with your conscience, unless there's something you need to do. Now, sometimes you will become aware of the fact that you need to go to that person and say, hey, I'm sorry. What I said was unfair. I was wrong. I apologize. Sometimes you need to go and do that, all right? But otherwise, if there's nothing that you're required to do. For example, let's say that you become aware that you hated your mom. You resented your mom. You might have even thought something bad, like you wish she was dead or something like that. Yeah, little kids sometimes think stuff like that. So now you think back on that and you see that you hated your mom. All right, what are you going to feel? You're going to feel bad. Once you see that you did hate your mom and you see that it's wrong, you just regret it. If your regret is sincere, then what are you going to do? You're going to moan. You're going to maybe cry a little tear and regret. You know you can't change anything. You can't change the past. There's nothing you can do except see your own wrong and bear the pain of it. But if you do that, then it will resolve into peace with your conscience. That's right. In other words, I'll put it in religious terms. You see that God forgives you. He's always forgiven you. He just wanted you to see that you were wrong and admit it and be sorry, that's all. Now you have reconciled with Him. You have reconciled with God by way of conscience. Conscience is from God. It's what you know in your heart. And having reconciled with conscience, you now have peace with your Creator. You're friends again with your Creator. You have peace with your Creator. And that is beautiful.
Hi, Lawrence. This is Linda calling from Greenfield, Massachusetts. I'm reading your, thank you so much for all of your radio shows and your books. They're fantastic. Really helping me understand, make sense. And I have a question. The wonderful talk you had on repentance, or one of the talks, and without the light of God, so I wouldn't even want to know the truth if there wasn't already some light happening. Or anybody for that matter. There must first be some light of God before there's even awareness that we need help. That's my understanding. So if you have a comment, I'd love to hear that. And thank you so much again. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. Good insight. God gives us light. He gives all people light. But only some of us love that light and learn to pay close attention to it. And it brings us to repentance, to all the good things, and then to understanding, and to success, and eventually to eternal life. We're talking about repentance in this program, and I think you'll enjoy it. And having reconciled with conscience, you now have peace with your Creator. Your soul need no longer be restless. You see, when you have something that you don't want to face, you don't want to admit. See, you don't want to admit you were wrong. You don't want to admit you were hateful. You don't want to admit you did wrong. You don't want to admit any of that stuff. You don't want to admit that you're prideful. And pride comes to your defense. So, as soon as you begin to detect your conscience making you a little bit aware of the fact that you're wrong, that you're hateful, that you're a resentful person, that you hate your own husband or your own wife, that you resent, you know, your parent or your neighbor or something, you don't want to see it. So you reach for something. You reach for music, you reach for alcohol, you reach for marijuana, you reach for a cigarette, you reach for a pill, you reach for your iPhone, you reach for work. You reach for sports on television. You reach for something to distract you, to take you away from that conscience that you don't want to face. And then when conscience comes back and there's nothing to reach for, then what do? You resent conscience. You resent it. You resent it because it spoils the image you want to have of yourself as being this wonderful person, this nice person, this good person. So you hate it. That's right. You resent your own conscience. But as long as you resist your conscience, as long as you resent your conscience, there's no peace with God. See, the moment you admit you're wrong, when you see it, see, you may not see it. You have to wait for conscience to show you. But when you see it, then just see it. Don't do anything about it. Don't try to change yourself. See, some people roll up their sleeves and they try to make themselves good. They try to do something nice. They go and work in a homeless shelter, a kitchen or something. Or they reach for excuses. Well, they did this to me and she did that to me and he did this to me. And so you try to justify your resentment of them, see, and try to make yourself good. So you go get a degree in theology or you study psychology and then you help other people and tell them not to hate their parents. See, let's say you hated your mom. Then you feel guilty. So in order to assuage guilt, you go off and you're nice to other people's moms. So it's all a compensation. It's all trying to make your, it's just your ego trying to make itself look right and avoid a confrontation with conscience. See, so I think I've made it quite clear, but I want you to see how important conscience is. And of course, see, your pride comes to your aid. The drugs and the alcohol, they all come to your aid. The entertainment comes to your aid. Everything, you misuse everything. So, yeah, so maybe food is not wrong, or watching a little sports on TV is not wrong, or going to work is not wrong, or taking a college course is not wrong, or helping in a soup kitchen somewhere for the homeless, it's not wrong. But if you misuse it, then you're using it to deny conscience, to deny God his moment. See, that's his moment. That's when he communicates with you. In that moment when you become aware. All right? So I'm talking a lot about conscience this morning because I promised that I was going to talk about peace with God, that God has promises of rest. But how can you have rest? How can you have peace with your Creator when you have something you don't want to face? You don't want to, you're harboring some grudge or some resentment, maybe against your dad, and you don't want to let it go, and you don't want to let it go, and you cling to it. Remember the rich man that came to Christ one time, and he said, "Hey, I obey all of the rules and the Ten Commandments, and, you know, I'm fair with people and all that kind of stuff." And Christ said, "Well, that's good." And the guy says, "Well, is there anything else I need to do to get into heaven, or haven't I done enough already?" And Christ said, "Yeah, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me." Well, the advice to that person is the same as applies to everybody. It may not be riches, but it could be whatever you're using to deny truth, to deny conscience. So remember now, the ego, the pride, is a false thing. And it's always trying to save itself, to deny God, and to try to prove itself right. So people don't want to admit they're wrong. See, they don't want to admit it to you. Do you know anybody that never wants to admit he's wrong or never wants to admit she's wrong? Yeah, self-righteous. So those people are basically the Pharisees. That's what they are. What did Christ say about the Pharisees? He didn't say anything good about them whatsoever. Well, that's what they are. Anybody who tries to look right when they're not right is basically a Pharisee. It's that simple. But your kids see it. See, when you're phony, when you're shallow, when you're resentful, when you secretly resent your husband, talk about him with the other ladies behind his back. See, when you're self-righteous and bossy, the kids see it. And they see something wrong with it. And when they see that and see something wrong with it, then you resent your kids for seeing something wrong with you. And then you try to make them look like they're wrong, which you're very good at because you're skilled at it, because you've been doing that your whole life. You become very skilled at it, to twist reality and make your kids feel like they're wrong. So it's a wicked. That's what it is, wicked. All right. So you got to see that. So whatever it is, you got to see it. Now, just a little bit more here, if you don't mind. I think this is a kind of a back to basics program, which I need to do once in a while. Need to do it. So maybe when you were a kid, you saw people that pretended like they were really nice or good, and you saw that they weren't, didn't you? So what did you do? Well, you resented them, didn't you? But your resentment of them cuts you off from your Creator, and that resentment is a wrong. Let's take a little break. When I come back, I'll continue talking about the problem with resentment. Welcome back. We're talking about resentment and how it separates you from your own inner ground of good. And then you start to accumulate all these wrongs, all these resentments and judgments, judging this person, hating that person, resenting your mom and resenting your dad, resenting your brother, resenting your boss, resenting your boyfriend, resenting your husband. So you accumulate all of those. See, so that's it. Those are a bunch of guilts that you have accumulated. And you twist reality to confuse your children, and that's another wrong. So you accumulate all these wrongs, and you don't want to face the truth in the light of conscience. Well, then you cannot have peace with God. You cannot have the rest that God promised us when we reconcile with Him. See? So those grudges have got to go, and the resentments have got to go. You can start by finding a way to not deny conscience when it makes you aware that you're wrong. It's that simple. And don't try to do anything about it. And don't make the mistake of resenting your own conscience. So now let's talk about intuition. Now I want you to see that intuition and conscience are the same thing. The only thing is conscience is 20/20 hindsight. Intuition is present sight. So in your present sight, you see that you were wrong, and we call it conscience. But what else is intuition good for? Intuition is good for detecting deceit. See, everybody else is rushing for the latest something or other that is said to be so good, and they're rushing for it. But somehow, I don't think so. Somehow your intuition holds you back. You see something wrong with it. You don't know what it is, but there's something about it. It just doesn't sit right with you. Or you meet somebody. Oh, they seem so nice, and everybody seems to think that they're so nice, and they have something that they want you to do, and they have some plan where you could spend some money and all that. But all of a sudden, you see some little thing. You see a glint in their eye, or you see the way they are suddenly impatient with someone who comes in, or you see how they're trying to avoid something. See? Very cleverly avoiding, you see that. And it's a warning, and it protects you. That's intuition. You're sitting at a red light, and you're waiting for the light to turn green. And then all of a sudden, you look to the side of the road, and there's some grass over there. And then you see a couple of chairs on it. And you look at those chairs. For some reason, you look at those chairs. And then you look up. And the light is already green. It had turned green a second or two ago. And you're just about ready to go. And suddenly a vehicle runs the red light and flies past at 50 miles an hour. And you think to yourself, oh my God, when the light turned green, if I had gone immediately, they were coming on such a delayed basis, I would have been hit by that car. Why did you notice those chairs at the side of the road, look at them for 3 or 4 seconds? Why? Well, you were protected. You see what I mean? It's your intuition. How about Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton? Where did their realizations come from? Intuition. Einstein was very close to his intuition. They called him unbudgeable. He saw what he saw, and he knew what he knew, and he wouldn't change, even though they said he was wrong. And then years later, what he said was confirmed. That's intuition. So all such realizations and insights and true creativity, it comes by way of intuition. It's like intuition is also the faculty by which we are inspired. And yeah, a little bit of foresight. Sometimes you see ahead a little bit. You see ahead a little bit. And you wonder about what you see, or you see ahead a little bit, and it's a warning to you. So that's your intuition. It encompasses the past and the present and the future, but it's in the present. You have to live in the present. In the present, you see what you did wrong, and you regret what you see, and then you are reconciled to God, and you're friends with God again. You're friends with conscience, and you can be at peace with God. Is so beautiful. And then you go out in the world and you don't get caught up in things. There's so many distractions, so much going on. You watch them You know them. You see them. But you have a little bit of distance, a little bit of detachment. You're in the world, but not of the world. And you delicately move through the day. And this thing is just about getting ready to get you all caught up in this music, and then you take a mental step back. And here comes somebody, and they're very cleverly or trying to get you involved in some argument, and you take a mental step back, and you don't get involved. And over there is some appeal. They want you to spend your money and buy something, and you just let it pass. See? And so you let all these things pass, and you remain free and a little bit detached and unemotional. Yeah, you have friends, and you do sports and at work and everything, but you're just not too close, not too emotional. You don't get involved in with the sticky emotions that pull you in and distract you and take you away from peace, take you away from intuition, from realization. See, I'm completely happy with just having my realizations. What I realize, what I see, what I understand. See, I can't always share it with other people, but I can go on the program here and speak. See, I'm speaking to you from the present, from my intuition. I'm like a talking conscience. I'm like a talking intuition. And I have a little bit of an insight, and I go with that insight, and it leads me this way and that way. And I elaborate on what I saw, what I realized, and share it with you. And if it awakens you to your own intuition, see, that's about the best anybody can do for you. They can speak a word, see, and awaken you to your intuition. And then when you are friends with your intuition, friends with God, the God of intuition, the God of conscience, and you don't look to anybody else. See, it says in the Bible, God says, I am a jealous God. So you mustn't look to anybody else to rescue you, to comfort you, to soothe you, to console you, to justify you. Look only to him, and he will. But what good he has for you, and the reconciliation that he has for you, and the redemption that he has for you, and the righteousness that he will impute to you, and the rest he has for you, has to be done by him. And it begins with your becoming quiet before your conscience and your intuition, and see what it has for you. If there's nothing for you, then just go about your business. Do your duty. Be a mom, be a dad, be a good citizen, a good worker. See, go about your business, go about your life. But then here comes a little insight, or here comes a little realization. I was phony with that person. And sometimes you can say, hey, I'm sorry, I was phony with you, I apologize. Sometimes you can't. Or sometimes the person that you hurt is long gone. In that case, just reconcile with your conscience and realize and see that God, see the beautiful thing you will then see. See, it's like having your tooth pulled out. You have to have your tooth pulled out. Nobody likes to have their tooth pulled out. And maybe there's a little bit of pain involved with it. But once the bad tooth is pulled out, then, oh, you feel so much better. So conscience is kind of like that. Yeah, you don't want to admit you're wrong, but you admit it. And you're sorry. And then you see that God forgives you. He doesn't hate you. See, he's not like you. You're judgmental. You hang on to judgments of other people and hate them. And then you dredge them up. When they offend you in some way, then you have this long... Remember they used to have a Rolodex type of thing where people had their phone number on this thing that turned around? So you have one of those that has hundreds of little entries in it of things that they did to you, okay? And then when you're offended, then you reach for those and then you remember all the things that they did to you. Well, wouldn't it be better to just let it go, forgive, make it unimportant, and be free and be a friend of God and a friend of conscience so that you'll know peace with God.
There's a little gap between knowing what to do and doing it. That little gap is the energy to do what you know is right. What you need to fill that little gap is the substance of courage. A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. We know that there is such a thing as truth. You intuit truth in the way that Einstein intuited the things he intuited. You just know in your heart what's right. Other people went against it and you couldn't understand why. From your intuition comes insight. You can study all the books in the world, but still not have wisdom, because wisdom comes from God. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
The other thing I want to mention is my very nice new little biofeedback exercise, which is so helpful to get you started. Some of you are so pulled out into things, so overwhelmed, you get so lost in your worries and doubts and fears and anxieties and memories and everything. You need something to help you get started. And this little exercise is so beautiful. It's a little hand-warming exercise. It teaches you how to become still. And you can find it at sittingquietlyamerica.com. sittingquietlyamerica.com. And there it is. You can listen to it and start and use it. Use my voice to help you get started to practice it. Beautiful. So I hope you have gleaned something of value from this program. Incidentally, you can listen to it again and again. You can go to the audio archives at sheddingshackles.com. And it's also, you know, on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, all over the place. Shedding Shackles. And get the beautiful little exercise, the biofeedback exercise, to help you get started to calm down. You can find it at Sitting Quietly America. It's so simple, so beautiful. SittingQuietlyAmerica.com. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.